Jaya Radha Ma. বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজকাচার্য অষ্টোত্তর শত শ্রী শ্রীমান অভয় চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয়। ইসকন ফাউন্ডার আচার্য হিজ ডিভাইন গ্রেস শিল প্রভুপাদ কি জয়। জয় ওম বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজকাচার্য অষ্টোত্তর শত শ্রী শ্রীমান ভক্তি সিদ্ধান্ত সরস্বতী ঠাকুর কি জয়। অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি জয়। নামাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয়। শ্রীরূপ শ্রী সনাতন ভট্ট রঘুনাথ শ্রীজীব গোপাল ভট্ট দাস রঘুনাথ সর্বস্বামী প্রভুগণ কি জয়। প্রেম সে কহ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাচারী গৌর ভক্ত বৃন্দ কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপ গোপীনাথ শ্যাম কুণ্ড রাধা কুণ্ড গিরি গোবর্ধন কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা মাধব শ্রীমন মহাপ্রভু সখীবৃন্দ কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী প্রহ্লাদ নৃসিংহদেব কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী গৌরনিতাই কি জয়। সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়। গ্রন্থরাজ শ্রীমদ্ ভাগবতম কি জয়। সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়। গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি হরি গৌর। অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস, অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস, অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস, অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু শ্রী গুরু অ্যান্ড শ্রী গৌরাঙ্গ, অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু শ্রী প্রভুপাদ। নম ওম বিষ্ণুপদায় কৃষ্ণপৃষ্ঠায় ভূতলে শ্রীমতে ভক্তিবেদান্ত স্বামী নামিনে। নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবে গৌরবাণী প্রচারিণে নির্বিশেষ শূন্যবাদী পাশ্চাত্যদেশতারিণে। ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। নারায়ণং নমস্কৃত্য নরং চৈব নরোত্তমং দেবীং সরস্বতীং ব্যাসং ততো জয়মুদীরয়ে। নষ্টপ্রায়েষু অভদ্রেষু নিত্যং ভাগবত সেবায়া ভগবতী উত্তম শ্লোকে ভক্তির্ভবতি নৈষ্ঠিতি। শ্রীমদ্ ভাগবতম সেকেন্ড ক্যান্টো চ্যাপ্টার 9 টেক্সট 23। I think it would be better if I just take the seat down now. Driven by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Brahma, the sinless, you may know from me that it was I who ordered you to undergo penance at first on your being perplexed in your duty, because such penance is my heart and soul, and because of that penance and I are non-different. Please repeat after me. O Brahma, the sinless, you may know from me that it was I who ordered you to undergo penance at first on your being perplexed in your duty, because such penance is my heart and soul, and because of that penance and I are non-different. purport by Srila Prabhupada. The penance by which one can see the personality of Godhead eye to eye is to be understood as devotional service to the Lord and nothing else, because only by discharging devotional service and transcendental love can one approach the Lord. Such penance is the internal potency of the Lord and is non-different from Him. Such acts of internal potency are exhibited by non-attachment for material enjoyment. The living entities are engaged in the conditions of material bondage because of their propensity for overlordship. But by engagement in the devotional service of the Lord, one can become detached from such enjoying spirits. The devotees automatically become detached from worldly enjoyment, and this detachment is the result of perfect knowledge. Therefore, the penance of devotional service includes knowledge and detachment, and that is the manifestation of the transcendental potency. One cannot enjoy material illusory propensity, material illusory property, if the desires to return home back to Godhead. One who has no information of the transcendental bliss in the association of the Lord foolishly desires to enjoy this temporary material happiness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that if someone sincerely wants to see the Lord and at the same time wants to enjoy the material world, he is considered to be a fool only. One who wants to remain here in the material world for material enjoyment has no business entering into the eternal kingdom of God. Such a foolish devotee is favored by the Lord by his snatching out all that he may possess in the material world. If such a foolish devotee of the Lord again tries to recoup his position, then the merciful Lord again snatches away all that he may have possessed. By such repeated failures in material prosperity, he becomes very unpopular with his family members and friends. In the material world, the family members and friends honor persons who may be very successful in accumulating wealth by any means. The foolish devotee of the Lord is thus put into forcible penance by the grace of the Lord, and at the end the devotee becomes perfectly happy, being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, penance in devotional service of the Lord, either by voluntary submission or being forced by the Lord, is necessary for attaining perfection, and thus such penance is the internal potency of the Lord. One cannot, however, be engaged in the penance of devotional service without being completely free from all sins. As is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, only a person who is completely free from all reactions of sin can engage himself in the worship of the Lord. Brahmaji was sinless, and therefore he faithfully discharged the advice of the Lord, tapaha, tapaha. And the Lord, being satisfied with him, awarded him with the desired result. Therefore, love and penance combined can only please the Lord, and thus one is able to attain his complete mercy. He directs the sinless, and the sinless devotee attains the highest perfection of life.
ॐ अज्ञानति निरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकाकान्त राधाकांत नमस्कृते. তপ্তকাঞ্চন গৌরাঙ্গী রাধে বৃন্দাবনেশ্বরী বৃষভানুসুতে দেবী প্রণম্যামি হরি প্রিয়ে বংশাকল্পতরুভ্যশ্চ কৃপাসিন্ধুভয়েব চ পতিতানাং পাবনেভ্যো বৈষ্ণবেভ্যো নমো নমঃ। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাচারি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম রাম রাম। সো দ্য সুপ্রিম পার্সোনালিটি অফ গড হেড কৃষ্ণ ইজ ইনস্ট্রাক্টিং ব্রহ্মা, হি ইজ Here Krishna is telling Brahma that it was he who actually imparted the transcendental knowledge unto him when he became satisfied by his penance and austerity. And here he is admitting that penance is very dear to him, and is because his penance and he himself are non-different. That is, when penance or austerities are performed for the sake of developing devotional service, for the sake of understanding Krishna, or when one accepts different types of physical difficulties in order to render devotional service to Krishna, Krishna becomes very pleased, because those austerities and penances, those difficulties are his internal potency, and that's why they are very pleasing to him, and that's why they are non-different from him. Actually, it is Krishna who makes arrangements for the living entities, for the conditioned soul, to go back to Godhead. It is Krishna's divine arrangement. Krishna always wants the living entities to go back to the spiritual sky. But as long as the living entities have the desire to enjoy this material nature, Krishna actually cannot help them. Krishna always is eager to help us. Krishna is always helping us. But when we are attached to material nature, when we are attached to material enjoyment, then we cannot actually receive Krishna's help. We cannot accept Krishna's help. Krishna's help is constantly being showered upon him. Krishna is always there, willing to help us. Not only willing, Krishna is eagerly waiting to help us. But unless and until we are willing ourselves, that means unless and until we become completely frustrated and exhausted with our endeavor to enjoy this material nature and turn our faces away from this material nature and sincerely want to get out of this material nature and go back to the spiritual sky, we cannot actually receive that help. This has sometimes been compared to a thirsty man standing in the middle of a torrential rain. But unless and until he cups his palms and gathers the water and starts to drink it, no amount of rain can actually help him. Or no, he may be in the middle of an ocean, he may be in the middle of a reservoir of water, a very sweet nectarian water. But it is up to him to drink that water in order to quench his thirst. Krishna wants us to be completely submerged in an ocean of ecstasy. Krishna wants us to go back to the spiritual sky, the world of eternal knowledge and bliss. But it is up to us whether we want to go back. As long as we don't want to go back, we cannot receive Krishna's help. And how Krishna helps? we can see right from the beginning of creation, the first created being, the personality who was sent by Krishna to this material nature to engineer this universe, to build the universe, to structure the universe, he received this transcendental knowledge from Krishna only when he became qualified. Brahma came, and actually everyone in this material nature is born in ignorance. Even Svayambhu, Brahma, who was self-manifest directly from the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into this material nature, even he was born in ignorance. A person who is born in ignorance is called a Sudra. The Sudras are in ignorance. So it says that Janmana Jayate Sudra. By birth, everyone is a Sudra, because everyone is born in ignorance. But Samaskarat Bhavati Dvija. But by the process of purification, by properly initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, one attains his second birth, his spiritual birth. And then, by practicing the Vedic culture, Veda Pathat, Bhavet Vipra, by studying the Vedas, he becomes a Vipra and Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. And when he becomes an expert in transcendental knowledge, he becomes a Brahmana. So Brahma, the foremost of all the Brahmanas, was also born in ignorance. And he didn't know who he was, where he came from. He was in total ignorance. He didn't know. He was completely dazed. He was completely bewildered. And he started to wonder, who am I? He found himself in a strange place. He was conscious, but he didn't know where he came from, who he was, and what he was expected to do, what he was supposed to do. And Brahma made various endeavors. First he thought, he found himself sitting on a lotus. And that lotus was on a pool of water called the Garbha Udaka. And so Brahma thought that if he climbed down the stem of the lotus and reached the bottom, then he would figure out, then he would realize who he actually was, because he could understand that his origin must be at the bottom of this lotus stem. So he climbed down for thousands of years, and although he came very close to the bottom of the lotus, although he came very close to the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still he could not really understand or could not really perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now this reveals one very important point, and that point is that no one in this material nature, including Brahma, can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his transcendental nature without the help of a bona fide spiritual master. So that has been very clearly indicated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Although Brahma came very close to the origin of that stem, of that lotus flower, but still he could not perceive the Lord. Because aprakrita vastu nahe prakrita gochar. The transcendental reality cannot be perceived by our material senses. With these material senses, no matter how powerful these material senses are, can perceive only the objects of this material nature, nothing beyond that. So the objects that are beyond this material nature, adhokshaja, transcendental to this material nature, those objects cannot be perceived by the material senses. Even Brahma cannot perceive the transcendental reality without the help of a bona fide spiritual mind. That's why it is said, Dvijatva. Dvijatva means second birth. Second birth means the birth of the spirit soul. Through our parents, we get our first birth. the birth of this body. But then, the second birth is the birth of the spirit, that takes place with the father, the spiritual master, and mother, the Vedic literature. The spiritual master introduces us to the Vedic literatures and reveals the transcendental wisdom in our heart. Divva Gyan Hriday Prakashito. The spiritual master reveals the transcendental knowledge that has been retained and contained in the Vedas in the heart of a disciple. So that is how the candidate, the disciple, becomes eligible to develop his spiritual senses, and with those spiritual senses he can see the spiritual reality. Jai Shri Sri Radha Madhava. He can perceive the transcendental nature. So that was the case with Brahma also. Like he was initiated directly by Krishna. Tene Brahma Rida Adi Kavaye Muihanti Jatsuraya. This spiritual subject matter is very bewildering. Muihanti, it bewilders even the greatest scholars. It bewilders even the very, very elevated sages. It bewilders even the demigods. Even they, the great sages, the demigods, very, very intellectually advanced personalities, cannot understand this transcendental subject matter. But that subject matter, that transcendental knowledge, was imparted in the heart of Brahma, Adi Kavi, the original wise personality in this material nature, by Krishna himself. So, and in the beginning of this creation, Krishna imparted this transcendental knowledge in the heart of Brahma, and thus Krishna established the disciplic succession, the first disciplic succession in this universe. And we can see that Krishna did not give the knowledge unto Brahma straight away. Krishna was waiting for Brahma to become purified. And that's why the Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that Krishna bestows his mercy only upon those who are sinless. In this verse, the particular word anagha has been used. Anagha, one who is sinless. So, and what is the actual sin, the original sin of a living entity? The original sin of a living entity is to desire to enjoy this material nature. That is the seed of all sins. And that sin has to be wiped out, has to be eradicated by austerities and penances. That is, we have to give up our tendency to enjoy this material nature. Tapasya brahmacharyena. How does one perform austerities? By becoming a celibate. By cultivating the transcendental knowledge. Actually, the word brahmacharya has two connotations. One is to become a celibate, not to indulge in associating with women. That is the apparent meaning of the word brahmacharya. But the deeper meaning of brahmacharya is brahmo acharati iti brahmacharya. The one who cultivates brahmo or transcendental knowledge, he is a brahmacharya. And unless and until one becomes situated on the transcendental platform, one cannot become a celibate. To be a celibate, one has to become situated in transcendental knowledge, One has to become engaged in devotional service. One has to develop a loving relationship with Krishna. Unless and until one develops this loving relationship with Krishna, one cannot possibly become a celibate. Param drishta nivartate. By attaining, by receiving the higher taste only, one can give up the lower taste. Everyone has the tendency to enjoy, but unless and until one gets the taste of the higher enjoyment, one cannot give up this allurement of lower enjoyment. So one must become situated on transcendental platform by being engaged in devotional service, by developing his loving relationship with Krishna. So that is the tapasya, that is the brahmacharya, which is the very foundation of austerities and penances. And how does one do that? Shamena cha damena cha. Shama means controlling the senses, and dama means controlling the mind. The senses are constantly running after the objects of the senses. Dhyate vishayan pungsha. Always our senses are running towards the objects of the senses, and when the objects of the senses come under the possession of our senses, we derive some material enjoyment. Or rather, we want to enjoy this material nature by bringing the objects of the senses under the control of the senses. But a person situated in knowledge knows that it's simply a waste of time. It's illusory. There is actually, the senses do not have any ability to enjoy. The real enjoyment is actually a spiritual criterion. The real enjoyment takes place on the spiritual platform. It is the spirit soul alone in the spiritual platform can enjoy the spiritual joy or spiritual bliss. But in the material nature, it's just a reflection. Just like seeing the reflection of a fruit in a pool of water or in a mirror, we cannot really quench our hunger. We cannot satiate our hunger. If we see the reflection of delicious food in a mirror, apparently it appears to be like real food, and we are very hungry, we are dying for hunger, but no matter how hard we try, we'll never be able to satisfy our hunger through that reflection. On the other hand, no matter how hard I try, or harder we try, more frustrated we'll become. But an intelligent man realizes that it is just a reflection. Especially a person who has been told by somebody who knows, says, look, this is a reflection of the food. And he'll never be able to get that food from that reflection, and he'll never be able to satisfy your hunger. But since the reflection is there, try to understand the real food must be there also. But not in the mirror, but somewhere else, in the opposite direction. So if you really want to satisfy your hunger, turn your face away from the mirror and go towards where the real food is kept. So that's what the spiritual master does. The spiritual master tells his disciples that, look, there is no enjoyment in this material nature. I know you want to enjoy, everybody wants to enjoy, but the real enjoyment is in the spiritual nature. And how can one go back to the spiritual nature? By developing his loving relationship with Krishna, and by engaging all his senses, by engaging his entire being into the service of that Supreme Personality of Christ. So to restrain our senses from running towards the objects of the senses and trying to bring everything under the control of the senses is called tapasya. or tapa. So when one does that, when one gets totally disgusted with the material nature, and then only he becomes qualified to develop his loving relationship with Krishna. But there is another very important point here, is that then the question may arise, so what comes first? Should we first become detached from material attachments and then become a devotee? Or should we become a devotee first and then try to get rid of the material attachment? The answer is, first become a devotee. Because devotional service is both the means as well as the end. Devotional service is the process by which we can become free from material attachment. And devotional service is the goal of our life, is the ultimate goal of our life. So when one becomes a devotee, then automatically he becomes detached. The Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport that when one becomes a devotee, then knowledge and detachment automatically comes to him. So jnana vairagya yuktaya, devotional service is connected or is accompanied by jnana, knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and vairagya, detachment. It has been described that devotional service, devotion, the personification of devotional service, is a woman, is the mother. And this mother, devotional service, has two sons. And those two sons are jnana and vairagya, knowledge and detachment. So wherever the mother is, the sons are also going to be there. So when one takes shelter of devotional service, then knowledge and detachment automatically come. And Prabhupada is pointing out here that what happens to a person who is engaged in devotional service but hasn't become detached from material attachment. And that has been very wonderfully explained by Srila Prabhupada in this purport, that Krishna actually works on him. Krishna takes care of him and makes him detached from his material attachment. Jashaham anugrinhami harishetadhanam shanam. Upon whom I bestow my mercy, I very quickly take away everything from him. Everything means everything material. So if we become a devotee and if we become favorably disposed means to be favorable to the other devotees, sadhu sangha, we must associate with the devotee. Sadhu sangha roti upajay. Kono bhagge kono jiver shamsar kono bhagge kono jiver shamsar hoy khoy sadhu sange krishne roti upajay. Very quickly, in the association, when due to his good fortune, when one becomes detached from material attachment or becomes reluctant towards material enjoyment, and if he associates with the devotees favorably, sadhu sange, then he very quickly develops devotional service to Krishna. And Krishna actually helps him. Krishna is telling in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada actually mentioned that in the purport, quoting from Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatana Goswami about Sambandha Tattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami that Krishna says that I am a wise man, I am wise, ami biggo, ei murkhe bishoy keno dibo. Sha charanamrita diya bishoy bhulaibo. That I am wise, he may be fool, my devotee may be a fool. But I am not a fool, so why should I let my devotee, who is very dear to me, have his attachment for material enjoyment? Therefore, I will make him drink the nectar from my lotus feet. And thus, I will make him forget about the pleasure of material enjoyment. The nectar from the lotus feet of Krishna is so relishable that when we get the taste of that nectar, then we immediately forget about material pleasures, or we immediately give up the desire for material enjoyment. So this is how Krishna actually helps his devotees to become attached to his lotus feet. And this was very wonderfully explained by Srila Prabhupada in the purport through this incident of how Brahma received the transcendental knowledge from Krishna. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Can you ask him to stop ringing the bell, please? Somebody asked him to ring, stop ringing the bell. Yes. That's what I was telling. In spite of coming out of the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was in ignorance. If you want to clarify it, or if you want to confirm it, then read Srimad Bhagavatam. It has been explained. That's the point. Even Brahma is born in ignorance. And in order to get out of that ignorance, he has to receive the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master. And he was very fortunate to receive that mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. Yes. Before? Yeah. He should remain in the association of devotees. Ado Shraddha Tato Sadhu Sangha. First one develops faith in the scriptures, in the words of the devotees. And that is called Shraddha. And then, as a result of that Shraddha, he will associate with the devotees, Sadhu Sangha. He will be with the devotees, try to render service to them, try to listen from them. So this is how he will associate favorably. And then bhajana kriya. Then he will become initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. And then bhajana kriya, then he will become engaged in devotional service. And that bhajana kriya also has two aspects, nishthita and anishthita. Or rather, anishthita first and then nishthita. Anishthita means without firm determination. And nishthita is with determination. So when one does not actually have that firm determination, then he is not so fixed up. And he goes from different stages of elevation. They have been described as utshahomayi, enthusiastic. In the beginning one is very enthusiastic. Then ghanotarala. Then sometimes it is intense, the desire is intense, and sometimes the desire is faint. He goes through that duality. Then comes buddha vikalpa, the conflict. Should I stay at home and become and remain in my household, take care of my family? No, it is better to leave everything behind and go to Vrindavan and follow the process of devotional service. No, after all, my father is old. Let me wait till my father dies. So this is how there is this conflict. That's called buddha vikalpa. Then it's called vishaya sharanga. That fight with the material object. Should I accept this? After all, in devotional service, we can accept everything. But sometimes he feels, no, it is not going to be favorable to my devotional service. No, I reject it. So this conflict, the whether I should accept the object or not. And then is a stage called niyamakshama. He takes vows, or he resolves in the morning that today I'll chant 100,000 names, 64 rounds, and I'll offer obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. I will not listen to any prajalpa. I will eat only once a day, that also after sunset. But he fails to practice that. He breaks it. He can't really maintain his resolution. So that's called niyamaksham. And then sarangarangini. You see, in the devotional creeper, there are the anarthas, are the twigs and branches that are unwanted. They are distinction, the desire for distinction, adoration and profit. So devotee also becomes attractive as Krishna.